which puts it 500 years before or after these events that are being recorded. So Ezra's recording events in this book of Chronicles that happened 500 years earlier, going back to David. So the people are looking back at the glory days of King David. When Larry and I get together with our hockey buddies, our old church hockey, we go over all the old glories. And remember, Larry, I just about got a goal that one game? So you got to go over these things and enjoy them. Well, since David and Solomon was pretty tough on the people. He made a lot of money off of them. And then his son was even worse. So that's why the kingdom split. The 10 northern tribes decided to leave because Solomon's son was so rough on them, tax-wise. And then the Babylonians came. You know, 586 was the final time they came and took over. And then, at this point, the Assyrians are their overlords. So they're pretty discouraged, these people. So it's time to look back at the glory days. Now, Chronicles is very similar to Samuel and Kings. But there is, about half of it is new information. So, very substantial book. Split into two books, of course. And I'd like to turn to 1 Chronicles 13. A little story, and we will get to Thanksgiving. Bear with me. Just hang in there. Like I tell my students, you might not see where it's going, but it is going to Thanksgiving. 1 Chronicles 13. These people needed some encouragement. And this story was really strange, and it didn't seem to be too encouraging. 1 Chronicles 13, let's start with the first verse. Then David consulted with the captains of the thousands and the hundreds, with every leader. And they had just won great victories over the Philistines. And by the way, the Palestinians of today, that's where they got their name, from the Philistines. But note, the Philistines don't exist. God eradicated them. They didn't. Do not exist anymore, the Philistines. And a couple hundred years after Jesus, one of the Roman rulers, who was not a friend of the Jewish people, named the group of people there the Palestinians, that were their enemies, because the Philistines were their enemies. So people sometimes get confused that the Palestinians are really the Philistines. No, they're not. They're a new group that came up. So David had consulted with God, and God had told him how to fight the battles and what to do, and miraculous victories. They didn't have to do very much to win these victories because God looked after it. So then David consulted with the captains of the thousands and the hundreds, with every leader. David said to all the assembly of Israel, "If it seems good to you, and if it is from the Lord our God, let us send word everywhere to our kinsmen who remain in all the land of Israel, and to the priests and Levites who are with them in their cities with pasture lands, that they meet with us. And let us bring back the ark of God to us, since we did not seek it in the days of Saul." Oh. The ark of the covenant wasn't with them. Where was it? They had gone to battle. Saul had taken it as a good luck charm, using God's holy ark of the covenant as a good luck charm. Now, what was in the ark of the covenant? Anybody tell me? Not very many people here, but can you tell me what one item was in the Ark of the Covenant?
Aaron's rod.
Two people got that one. Anyone else have? Ten Commandments, the tablets. And manna. Some manna, the miraculous food that God fed them with in the wilderness. So Saul thought it was a good idea to have a good luck charm out there in the battle. How did that go for him, by the way? Not too good. Not very well. And Saul and his sons were killed. And so they haven't had the Ark of the Covenant for many years, from Saul, and now David's a king. The Philistines were so happy to get a hold of this Ark of the Covenant, the good luck charm of the Israelites. But that didn't last long. God started cursing them with all kinds of things, with boils, actually hemorrhoids. If you look into the originating of the language, and it killed a bunch of them. And the Philistines actually put the ark on a cart, and some of them had looked into the ark, and they had died, like thousands had died, because these Philistines had looked into the ark. And they said, let's get rid of this, put it on the cart, two oxen, and they yawed them out of there, and away they went to Israel, these two oxen, miraculously led by God to Israel. So let us bring back the ark of God to us, since we did not seek it in the days of Saul. Then all the assembly said that they would do so, and for this was right in the eyes of all the people. Remember I said they won their battles because they followed God's instructions? David sought all the people's wisdom that he could get. He looked outside of himself, which is really good. But there's one place he didn't look. One place he didn't look for wisdom, for guidance. And that was God himself. He completely missed it. After these miraculous victories in battle, he didn't look to God. Of course, everybody in Israel was like, yeah, let's get the Ark of Covenant back. Yeah, let's go for it. Everyone was excited. Verse 5, so David assembled all Israel together from the Shiar of Egypt to the entrance of Hamath to bring the Ark of God from Kiriath-Jearim. David and all Israel went up to Bela, that is the Kiriath-Jearim, which belongs to Judah, to bring up from there the Ark of God, the Lord who is enthroned above the cherubim where his name is called. And they carried the Ark of God on a new cart. Look, they weren't going to use an old cart. Like, this is God's holy ark, right? Ark of the Covenant. No way are you going to use an old cart for this. They're going to use a new cart to show respect to God. A new cart from the house of Abinadab. And Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart. David and all Israel were celebrating before God with all their might, with songs, with lyres, harps, tambourines, cymbals, and trumpets. Now, lyres was sort of like a cross between a harp and a guitar. It didn't look like the guitar we have now, but that's the kind of instrument it was. When they came to the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put out his hand to hold the ark because the oxen nearly overturned it. So there was a stumbling going over uneven ground, probably, and the ark, looks like it was going to fall out. And Uzzah put his hand up. You understand what's going on there? Put his hand up, and you just do it out of reaction, right? You don't want God's ark to fall on the ground. Very admirable thing to do. Verse 10, and this is where, I remember reading this as a child, and this just doesn't seem fair. This guy was so protective of the ark of God's holiness, but the anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah. The guy that actually put his hand out to stop it from falling. So he struck him before he had put out his hand toward the ark, and he died there before God. So he didn't even get to touch the ark. And just a mystery. No, it wasn't just a mystery to me. Look at the next verse. Then David became angry because of the Lord's outburst against Uzzah. And he called that place Perez Uzzah, as it is to this day. David was afraid of God that day, saying, how can I bring the ark of God home to me? So David did not take the ark with him to the city of David, but took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. So, okay, David's saying, enough of this, but we need a place for it to go. So they went right to a close nearby farm and put it in this guy's keeping. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house for 3 months. And the Lord blessed the family of Obed-Edom and all that he had. The story just didn't make sense to me. Just so counter to what we would think. There's this man that wants to preserve the ark from falling, and he's dead before he even touched it. It all goes back to God's instructions. The people of Israel were given very specific instructions on how to move the ark. Let me read them for you. God's specific instructions for moving the Ark of the Covenant were for the Levites to carry it on their shoulders using poles that were inserted through rings on the sides of the Ark. So there were rings on the sides of the Ark, big long poles, and they would put them on their shoulders and walk with them. It would have been heavy, it would have been arduous to do that, but that's the way they were supposed to do it. And the poles were never to be removed. Priests were to first cover the ark with a cloth before the Levites carried it, and no one was to touch it. Don't touch it. Don't touch it. Uzzah, don't touch it. And he reached out to touch it. And the Levites carried it. Only the Levites could carry it. Specifically, there was a family of Kohites, the only ones that could carry it. They were in charge of the holy objects of the tabernacle. So they were the only ones that could carry it. And Uzzah paid. I don't think Uzzah did it on purpose. I don't think he was disobeying God. I think he actually wanted to save the ark. But he paid the ultimate price for his ignorance. So they left it there for 3 months. 3 months it was left there. People, they had God's instructions about moving the ark. It was all there for them. They had it. And it took them 3 months. David went through God's instructions, his manual, the Old Testament, the Pentateuch, and he realized what had been done. And it was his fault. David was the leader. And he didn't talk to God about it. He talked to everybody else, but he didn't talk to God. And he decided that he would do it his way. I don't need to look up God's instruction manual. I can do it myself. I'm David. And not only that, we got new technology, carts. And I'm going to build a nice new cart. Things change. Our society's changing. Let's use carts we have at our disposal and move this ark. Terrible. Does that sound like today? Hey, things are changing in this world. We have to adapt to the world. Sure, God said it in here. God said it in here, but that doesn't matter. Do you want to get that, Donnie? Yeah. Popular guy. We've got to be careful. We've got all the instructions we need right here. And when we moved here, well, must be 15 years ago, we compared God's word to what the leadership at this chapel was doing, and we were very happy. And we were very happy to come here in fellowship. And we have been blessed by being here among this fellowship. The godly people that were before us and built up this fellowship. Follow God's word. It doesn't matter what society says. It doesn't matter what the culture is. I don't care if they have nice new carts out there. It doesn't get into the church. If God's instructions say this and this and this, that's what happens. I could care less about the culture. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say there. And when I was an elder before, there was an elder who didn't like one thing that we were following. And he came to me privately and he said, this one teaching that he didn't want to follow. He said, it's only mentioned once in the Bible. So, is it that important? When God says it once, is it important? And I told him that. He said, yeah, yeah. And he knew that. Miguel, when I said it once, did I mean it? You got away with a lot though, right? When God says it, when God says, carry it, certain people carry it, right, with the poles, that's what you do. You don't try to better God. The other thing, so then the guy came back to me and said, well, it wasn't Jesus that said it. It was Paul, you know. It wasn't Jesus. It wasn't written in red. I said, every word of this scripture is inspired by God. It's God's word. If it comes out of Jesus' mouth or Paul's mouth, it's all God's word. And he knew that too. He just didn't want to follow the instructions. And you know what he did then? He said, yeah. And then he smiled. Because he knew that I knew he was trying to trick me. And I don't understand that. If God says it, do it, people. Follow it. And I am so thankful for this chapel. Scott's our only elder now. We need to be praying for him to keep the course, right? And bless him for keeping the course. And the deacons that are supporting him in their work too. So keep up the good work. And it goes on from there. And let's move on in Scripture. There's a whole bunch of Scripture that goes on. And in 1 Chronicles 16, let's turn there. After 3 months, they had searched Scripture. They were no longer ignorant. They knew exactly how the ark was to be moved, and they moved it. They were doing it the right way, God's way. So people, remember this phrase. Do God's work in God's way. Right? Doing God's work in your own way doesn't really work at all. God can still use it, yes, but there's blessings to be had by you. You will be missing out on. 1 Chronicles 16, and the first verse. And they brought in the ark of God and placed it inside the tent which David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. When David had finished offering the burnt offering and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Then he distributed to everyone of Israel, both men and women, to everyone. Listen to this. Everyone, a loaf of bread, a portion of meat, and a raisin cake. I bet you they were pretty good. I bet you they were like Hoover donuts, right? Everybody gets those things. Everybody got those. They were having a great time. They were rejoicing that this was back. Poor Uzzah is dead 3 months ago, but now they've moved on, and they're rejoicing that God's presence is with them. He appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the Ark of the Lord to celebrate and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph, the chief, and second to him, Zechariah. Now, Asaph, that's a name that you might know. Do you know where you see his name? Psalms. A psalm of Asaph. You go through there, and there's quite a few by him. So he was very musical, very poetic. So he was the head of all of them. God had specially endowed him with abilities. They're talking about musical instruments, harps, lyres. Asaph played loud-sounding cymbals. Bang, 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 yeah. Verse 6, and the priests, Benaniah and Jehaziel, blew trumpets continually before the Ark of the Covenant of God. I'm sure you could have heard this noise for miles, this sound, and it was probably a wonderful sound because they were very gifted. Then on that day, David first assigned Asaph and his relatives to give thanks to the Lord. What a great time of celebration. God was back with them. His presence was with them. And then we're going to go to verse 8. And this is the thanksgiving. Their hearts, to think about it. They find it was so demoralizing when Saul took that ark and the Philistines took it. It was just demoralizing. Like losing the World Series, you know? Just demoralizing. It was even worse because it was God's ark and they'd been foolish with it. And it was their fault that it was gone. So along comes the time for worship because now it's back. And they're so full of joy, just so full of joy. And they give a song of worship. And there are three stanzas to this. Now remember, in the Jewish language, you don't say blue, bluer, and bluest. You say blue, 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 and blue, blue, blue. So it's the bluest, nothing bluer than it. You say it three times, blue, blue, blue. If you want it to be bluer than the other one, you say blue, blue. Well, this one has three stanzas. Three is very important in the Jewish poetry because it means specifically it's the ultimate. So there are three stanzas here. And we're going to go through the stanzas. And let's do that with a heart of thanksgiving ourselves this morning as we go through this. Some of you will be celebrating today your thanksgiving. So this is always a good scripture to turn to if you want to have a scripture reading for Thanksgiving around the table before you start eating. Verse 8 in chapter 16. Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make his deeds known among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Speak of all his wonders. And they've seen lots of wonders. The specific instructions that David just had to beat the Philistines, they were miraculous. So they'd seen it. Boast in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be joyful. Are you joyful this morning? Are you seeking the Lord? You can only have that joy if you're seeking the Lord. Remember his wonderful deeds which he has done, his marvels and the judgments from his mouth. You descendants of Israel, his servants, sons of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. So there, that goes to the Abrahamic covenant, mentioning Jacob and all those descendants. Verse 15. Remember his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac. He also confirmed it to Jacob as a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying to you, I will give the land of Canaan as a portion of your inheritance. And they were only a few in number, very few, and strangers in the land. And they wandered from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another people. He allowed no one to oppress them. And he rebuked kings for their sake, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do not harm my prophets. Remember, Abraham and Sarah were in Egypt, and Abraham was very close to death, and God intervened in a miraculous way. This Abrahamic covenant was given to Abraham, his son Isaac, and then God gave it directly to Jacob too. So all three of them got it directly from God. And the three parts of the Abrahamic covenant, one is the land of Israel. Do I believe, as a Bible believer, that Israel belongs to the Israelis? Yes. And if you believe in God's word, I think you have to believe the same thing. But our culture has changed. People, right? We have carts now. No, culture doesn't change. God's holy word. He promised them that land, a land of rest. He also promised them, Abraham, when he had no children, that he was going to be the father of many nations. So many descendants, he couldn't even count them. How old was it he had to wait till he had his son, Isaac? Anybody know that? 100. Sarah, 90. Wow. It was God's hand in it. They all believed it and they knew it. So that's the second part of the promise. The other promise, part of the promise, is God said to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he said the third part, you're going to be a blessing to the whole world. And they have been. How have they been a blessing to the whole world? If we didn't have the Jewish people, things like this probably wouldn't exist. Laptops probably wouldn't exist. They are absolutely brilliant. More than a third of the Nobel Science Prizes are owned by Jewish people. This little wee nation has all these brilliant people. Boy, what a coincidence, eh? God is blessing them. So they've blessed us with all this stuff we have. But more importantly, they blessed us with God's word. It's through them that we have Scripture. And those people were meticulous. Scripture, they were meticulous. They would write out a chapter, and they would count every character that they were copying from, and every character they had copied. And if the numbers did not match up, they would take the copy and rip it up. Even if they counted wrong, they wouldn't say, oh, I think I counted wrong, I'll do it again. No. If there was a chance, they would rip it apart. When they printed the word Yahweh, six letters, they would have a bath before each letter was printed. These people were amazing, meticulous. That's why I have full confidence that this scripture is absolutely true. And there were people, you know, in the 1800s and all that, early 1900s, that said, no, it's been changed recently. It's been changed. Well, then they found the Dead Sea Scrolls. Remember the little shepherd boy? Was that 1940? something. Anyway, he threw a rock and heard something break, and he found broke, and he found these Dead Sea Scrolls, and they were from pieces from all kinds of scripture that we have. And guess what? It was a couple hundred years before Jesus, and every word matched every word that we have today. Nobody's been changing it. The Jewish people refused to do that. So they blessed us with this. Our word, I am confident that God's holy word is here and preserved, and it's amazing. And the more I study it, the more I know it's true, and the more I know that it's God's instruction manual for us, and don't deviate from it. And I still deviate from it, right? Don't deviate from it. And the other promise that he'd bless the world with, we need a Savior. We are lost in sin. Can you look at this world? Black is white. Right is wrong now. The world's upside down. We need a Savior. We are so full of sin. And there's coming a time when God will preserve his chosen ones for a millennium, and for 1,000 years he's going to have a kingdom of just believers. Satan will be bound up. Do we need Satan to sin? Nope. He'll be bound up and will mess up during the millennium. We have sin right in our hearts. But God sent his only begotten Son as our Savior, and that is the greatest gift of all. That from these Jewish people came the blessing of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine God of all creation? Jesus is the one who spoke it all into existence, and he came down to the Jewish people, and they put him on a cross. But he knew that that's what he had to do, to die for my sins, you know, a couple thousand years later, for your sins. And that's encouraging to me, that all the promises of God are coming true. 1948, something happened that's never happened before. A nation that was wiped out, spread throughout the whole world, came back into existence. No nation's ever done that before. But Israel came back as a nation in 1948. And what a great little nation it is. And they aren't exactly following God right now, but someday they will. There's going to be an amazing turnaround, Scripture says. All of a sudden, the Jewish people are going to, oh, Jesus is the Messiah, the one we're waiting for. He fulfills every prophecy about the Messiah. And they're just going to go crazy spreading the word around this world. The Jewish people had all these promises, and they're rejoicing. In the next verse, we're at 23 now, is the second stanza. So the second stanza says, verse 23, sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim good news of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the people. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. For he also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols. Or non-existent. If you look at the root word, non-existent. They're idols. They don't exist. But the Lord made the heavens. That's the God I want to believe in. The one that made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. Beautiful. That's what we need to teach our children, your grandchildren, about God's splendor, God's grace, his love for us. And do you hold your children up to the Lord? Do you hold your grandchildren up to the Lord and cry out for them? I hope you do. God hears our prayers. He loves it when we talk to him. Stanza 3 is the next verse, verse 28. Ascribe to the Lord, you families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and honor. So praise him, in other words. Give him the credit. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering. Come before him. Worship the Lord in holy attire. Tremble before him, all the earth. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. Let the heavens be joyful, and the earth rejoice, and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Even in this world, where it doesn't seem like the Lord is reigning, he's there. The States has had a real awakening this last month with Charlie Kirk being assassinated. God was in control of that. He allowed that. And churches in the States, not in Canada, churches in the States have been getting filled. God is using it. People are recommitting their lives, and people are getting baptized down in the States. It's like Canada's ignoring it, but the United States is having a bit of a revival. And the word is getting out there. People are watching his videos, and he is very clear on the gospel. His gospel is the same gospel that you and I believe. Absolutely. He's very clear about it. And that's why the world hated him. Jesus said, if the world hates me, they're going to love you? No. They're going to hate you too. And Charlie paid for it with his blood. But what a way to go, serving the Lord. Doing what he's asking you to do. Verse 31, let the heavens be joyful, the earth rejoice, and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. He's in control. Verse 32, let the sea roar and everything it contains. Let the field rejoice and everything that is in it. Then the trees of the forest will sing for joy in the presence of the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. That's a fearful thought. I am glad that I have studied his word, and at the age of 7, I accepted the free gift of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he's coming to judge the earth, when he comes to judge me, he sees Jesus Christ covering me, covering my sins. And there's a lot of them, but I'm thankful Jesus is a great God. I can't sin enough for him not to forgive me. He is greater than anything I could do. And I thank and praise him for that. And when we have this, as we're reading through this and the thanksgiving that's going through their hearts for having this back, what are you thankful for? Are you thankful that your sins have been forgiven? That you've been brought into the house of the Lord today? Can we be thankful for that? And they're rejoicing and rejoicing. And we will not be judged if we have accepted that free gift. And we had 5 ladies baptized this a couple months ago, proclaiming their faith in this proclamation, that they have accepted this free gift of salvation. It was a beautifully encouraging time. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his faithfulness is everlasting. Everlasting. It might seem like we're going through rough times. These people were going through rough time right now, 450 years before Jesus is born. They're having a rough time. They need encouragement. And Ezra, we think it's Ezra, is recording these stories to encourage them. Do God's work God's way. Don't mess up, Uzzah. You did it in ignorance. You tried to do the right thing, but it wasn't what God instructed, and you were struck down because of it. Let us do God's work in God's way. And then those 3 stanzas are over, and then the final request in the Psalm of Thanksgiving in verse 35. Then say, save us, God, of our salvation, and gather us, and save us from the nations, to give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Preserve us. Well, 450 years later, Jesus would be born. And then 70 years after that, they'd be just decimated. The Romans would absolutely destroy them and the temple. And they would be spread throughout the whole world. But what a unique people. God preserved them. And he blessed them everywhere they went. People got jealous of them because they had so much. They were such a wise people. But God brought them back in 1948. So we had the Abrahamic covenant. You're going to have innumerable descendants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're going to have a land of rest, and you'll be a blessing to the world. Those 3 things. Now let's look at chapter 17. Look at chapter 17. We've gone through the Thanksgiving prayer. The song of praise they're all singing And they would have rehearsed this and practiced this and been ready for this. And it's actually a compilation of a bunch of psalms. You can actually find these in other psalms put into 1 Chronicles here. And in 1 Chronicles 17, let's look at verse 10. Because we've gone over the Abrahamic covenant, which was given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Verse 10, even from the day that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and I will subdue all your enemies. Moreover, I tell you that the Lord will build a house for you. When your days are fulfilled, that you must go to be with your fathers. This is going to David, right? Then I will set up one of your descendants after you, who will be from your sons. Who took over from David? Anybody know the name of his son? Solomon. Very good. From Bathsheba, of all people. God is so gracious and merciful. The one David had an affair with is the one that ends up having her son go to the throne, and what a kingdom he had. And God blessed him because of David. David had peace, but he had to fight for it, had to follow God's ways to get that peace. And Solomon had peace. He wasn't a warrior. He had peace all his days because of his father, because of God's grace. In verse 11, when your days are fulfilled that you must go to be with your fathers, David, then I will set up one of your descendants after you who will be from your sons, and I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build for me a house, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, he shall be my son, and I will not take my favor away from him as I took it from him who was before you, but I will settle him in my house and in my kingdom forever. And his throne will be established forever. Is God talking about Solomon here? Kingdom forever? Absolutely not. He's actually gone to Jesus. Son of David. Thou son of David? You hear Jesus refer to that? That's where this comes from. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so Nathan spoke to David. So we have an Abrahamic covenant and we had a Davidic covenant now. This Davidic covenant was, David, from your family will come an everlasting kingdom. It was going to be Jesus, not Solomon. Now the Israelites had a physical kingdom. They were back in the land. Now they had David giving them freedom, fighting for them, giving them peace. And David looked to the kingdom that's going to be everlasting. And David was good at that. He could look forward to the everlasting kingdom. Are you thankful? Are you thankful for what we've got? We're not the Jewish people. The Abrahamic covenant has really blessed us, but it was for the Israelites specifically, the first two parts of it. But we are Gentiles, and we've been blessed by the Abrahamic covenant. But the Davidic covenant, the promise that was given to David, has touched us personally. Jesus Christ came as a king forever, reigning on the throne forever. The Israelites had a physical kingdom. You and I have a spiritual kingdom. And doing it God's way, God's work in God's way, our leadership from when this was started have set aside every Sunday morning at 9:30 to remember the Lord Jesus Christ and to be thankful. Our Thanksgiving shouldn't be on Thanksgiving Day. Our Thanksgiving should be constant. And we are forgetful people. So the leadership here has set aside 9:30 Sunday mornings for everyone who believes to come here and worship the Lord in thanksgiving and praise for what he has accomplished through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the most important meeting of the church. This meeting is the Family Bible Hour. It was generally made up to be an outreach. Back hundreds of years ago when the Bible chapels were first started, this was an outreach meeting. But for the true believers, the first meeting, so some of you who are new to Bible chapels, the first meeting is a true meeting of the church, where we gather and remember the Lord in the bread, which is his body broken for us, and the wine, his blood shed for us. And what a wonderful time of fellowship it is, remembering and thanking the Lord for what he's accomplished on the cross of Calvary for us, because if I had to pay the penalty for my sins, I'd be paying forever. The Bible's very clear about that. But all I have to do is trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his price that was already paid for us at Calvary. Father, I thank you so much for the fellowship we can have together. The Israelites were discouraged. They'd been subjugated to so many kingdoms, booted around. But, you know, it was their own fault. They were doing things their own way. And they could look back. They could look back at the records and see whenever they obeyed God, things went well for them. Whenever they disobeyed God, it went poorly for them. And they looked forward to that land of rest. And then miraculously, in 1948, they came back to that land. But we have a greater kingdom we look forward to, Lord. Not a physical kingdom, but one that a descendant of David, the Son of God, would reign over. So I thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with each one of us here. Help us be thankful this Thanksgiving, but help us be thankful throughout the week too. For we have many blessings through the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.